The Glorious Church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The Glorious Church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The Glorious Church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020, a glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
Many thanks to the Almighty God for yet another day. We are praying that we shall have an encounter with God. And that we will never be the same again. Tonight, today, I'm speaking on the topic, creating an environment for worshippers to encounter the Lord.
And I'm speaking on the topic, creating an environment for
creating an environment for worshippers to encounter the Lord. The church leader's responsibility. Last week, we studied and we arrived at the fact that it is the Spirit's presence in worship that matters. It is the Spirit's presence in our worship that brings relief.
The
effective spiritual worship, we said, largely depends on what we do in our closets before joining the service.
See,
so the Puritans committed to pre-service preparation. That act of theirs testified to the fact that they relied on the Spirit for inspiration. It testified of the fact that they saw the Spirit as their strength. Because it's the Spirit's presence in worship that really matters. Now, to that end, the Puritans gave some kind of outline or some kind of sketch for ideal worship for their worshippers. So the Puritans' ideals and goals in their approach to public worship, I want to remind you, I want to outline it again. Now they were expecting all parishioners to go through this, work very hard on their hearts before they come for service. They were expecting reverence. We said they were expecting faith. They have to come before God with all boldness. They thought that when you are coming to church, you must come with some eagerness to receive. They thought that you must come with expectancy. Must come with delight. Wholeheartedness. Concentration. Real concentration. Not forgetting your phones. Concentration. Self-abasement or humility. Above all, passion to meet the Lord. You see, but care must be taken by the leaders that after all the parishioners have observed all these sketches, their expectations are not cut off. You see, when I was pastoring PIWC Atomic,
PRWC Atomic Asafono so.
We're going to have one of our major programs. So I called the media team and actually instructed them to work very hard at publishing what we were going to do, the program. Now, Sunday after church, the program was to begin the next day, that was Monday. I called their team leader.
Say,
Tay, please come.
Say, Tay, bra.
I hope you have done everything right.
Okay.
He looked at me and said, Osof, we have done all that we can. I know the people are going to come. Now it depends on you people. So I looked at him and I laughed. But you see, he really spoke to me. He looked at me and then he continued.
So
when the people come, and then you people preach, then he said, Kafui. People preach in just anything.
And I said,
and they don't continue with you.
No, man, to us, ma.
Don't think that we didn't do our work. So the worshippers have a part to play. But the leaders should not cut their expectations. So leaders should also prepare and create an environment for God to encounter His
people.
Worshippers should go home as people who have met the Lord. People who have had a Holy Spirit inspired service. Where worshippers will go back home as worshippers have had an undeniable sense of God's presence in their midst.
Now, what back free horse and crofa? Wohunso onyame abba won temwa echinjebianiho.
People are anxious to return for another encounter. Individuals experience a deep need for repentance. Deep questions are answered. Dubious behaviors and characters have been challenged. Commitment levels have been stirred up. Burdens are lifted. Emotional and physical healings of certain discernible nature is recorded. People should go home feeling that we met the Lord. And then they should leave with some eagerness to return again another encounter. Brethren, it is possible to have good preaching, good music in a service. But still have a vapid, flat, lifeless service. See, this can be attributed to the setting, the environment in which the service occurred. Many are good theologians. They are good pastors. They are not wrong in their theology. They teach good doctrine. Members listen to them. Yet they are hungry. They listen to them. Your theology is good. The exegesis is correct. Homiletics, everything is perfect.
See,
people are a test for God Himself. and they are eager for spiritual realities and will not be content with just correct interpretation of scripture and good music. Our churches these days are filled with choirs. Every church has a good choir. They sing. The songs have fed their emotions, but not their hearts. So they leave church. Because when they went there, they were jumping. They were responding emotionally. To the tune of the music. They close church. And then the real man lifts his head. The heart was never met. Hebrews 13, verse
9. Hebrews 13, verse 9.
Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Sometimes the teachings we have in church mostly are not strange teachings. But look at the next line. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Hearts are strengthened by grace. When we are talking about grace, we are talking about that which comes from above. Hearts are strengthened by grace. So your preparation could be good. Your word could be splendid. But you see, hearts are moved by that which comes from above. This kind of atmosphere where members really encounter God is created. See, it is mostly the church leader's responsibility. Now let's look at our Master Jesus Christ. Luke 21.
We'll
take from verse 37.
Luke and Sempano iti edwenu bakon iti chemwe dwa Samson eko.
Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple.
And so they bear no na or church wa sorry for you.
And each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives.
Na anajuna we free akwatina bepa wa freno engo bepa no so.
And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple.
Na omani na tuya no pa ba ni nche asori fi ho betie no.
Each day,
debiara
in the temple teaching.
O wasori demo chirechire.
Each night,
na so anaju biara
on the mountain top praying and waiting upon God.
O wabepo no so obom pa no otweni urade.
Because the following day people will come to him.
If he said, "Ada to adechi anipa beba ni nche."
You should descend from the temple with the presence of God. The mountain with the presence of God.
It is so o sani free bepo no so odenya me engo sira sani free bepo no so.
It is the presence that brings life to the people.
Na sa nyame ni mpa no ene de nkwa ebre asafo no.
And all the people came early in the morning to hear him in the temple.
Na anopatutu tu no omani na ba ni chense obetie no wa sorry them.
Mark chapter 1.
Mark sempano itibako
from verse 21. Let me start from 21.
Yemfrasi fiti chemedwe no baako.
They went to Capernaum.
Na wakodru Capernaum.
When the Sabbath came,
na humida dru ye no,
Jesus went into the synagogue.
Entemara no koshia de muho.
And began to teach.
Na okochirechire.
The people were amazed.
Na nchacha ne ye won ahudiri.
At his teaching.
Nchacha ne ye won ahudiri.
Because he taught.
If he said okochirechire.
He taught them as one who had authority.
Our church one said there, or what to me?
Not as the teachers of the law.
Na enye atirefono.
Now until his arrival.
And ekosi se obahayano.
They were going to the temple.
Na wakwa sorry them.
They were listening to the teachers of the law.
Na wachire atirefono.
They are described as teachers of the law.
Wafra wangwanga wachire mrano.
So they know the law.
Etina woni mrano.
But this Jesus came.
Na Yesu by
that man from Nazareth.
Oberima ofi Nazri.
The Bible says he taught with such authority.
Na chwani se odi tu mi chere chere.
There was something about his words.
Na bibi wanen sem kanu.
That affected hearts.
Ah, ekakoma.
That broke yoke.
Na ebubu konuya.
There was something about his word.
Na bibi wo na sem
kanu. He taught with such great authority.
Na odi tu mi kesi chere chere.
Not as the teachers of the law.
Enye se de achrefo no.
Just then.
Na
a man in the synagogue
he
was possessed by impure spirits. Cried out. Listen, it was not deliverance time yet. Everything is in the presence of the Lord. Everything is in the presence of the Lord. Nothing escapes his eyes.
And
when he's present, he heals the sick. He raises the dead. Because he knows our need. And he does it. You don't need to call him to do it. He does it. Oh, Kabul
Shatin.
Let us bring the presence of the Lord to the church. That will answer our questions. He cried out. What do you want with us? Jesus of Nazareth. This is a demon describing this man. Why? Because they know him.
If he said,
do demons know you? There are certain Christians that demons do not even care about. Because you are not a threat to their kingdom.
Because if you say,
I challenge you to write your name in the account. Let them from today write your name.
More
when you are an ordinary Christian,
Christian
does not waste time on you. They know him. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God. You see the demons, I know who you are. The Holy One of God. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say I am? Did you hear that they were saying Jeremiah and... I want you to bow down your head.
But you see,
and then let us not be content with just going to church. We need to get to the deep. Let's pray.
Frasena bompai. Frasena bompai.
Yande
Frasena bompai. Rabasi yanda.
Please lift up your head if you can.
Mr. Osso, bet you me a pejawati.
You see, that is why the multitudes will follow him. Because he met the expectations.
As I said, they know what.
All our fountains are in him. Nothing really satisfies our soul. Not even good teachings of the
word.
The people are a test for God himself. See, but this kind of environment, they are created. See, environments are created. Let me say again, environments are created. James chapter 3.
Yakubu itimiensa.
From verse 13.
Yakubu itimiensa.
Who is wise and understanding among you. Let them show it by their good life. By deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It is earthly, unspiritual,
demonic.
For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So when you create an atmosphere of selfish ambition, you find all kinds of disorder. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all what? Pure. Then peace loving. It is considerate. Submissive. Full of mercy. And good fruits. Impartial. And sincere. Peacemakers. Who sow in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness.
Now,
if you want to reap a harvest of righteousness,
it is opposite.
Create the atmosphere.
It is opposite.
When you want to reap disorder,
it is opposite.
Create an atmosphere of self ambition.
Any bossakasaka yehumbain.
So environments are created.
It is the susubiano yebohumbain.
So when we say create an atmosphere for God to encounter his people, we mean create it.
Say ye kase bokwan na nyame enhia ne nkrofo a na ye pese kase bokwan no.
Exodus chapter 17.
Mose wo ma etosu mienu itidu nsun.
We read from verse 8.
Etichemu enwotwe.
Exodus 17 from 8.
Mose wo ma etosu mienu itidu nsun chichemu
enwotwe. Scripture says that the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim.
Na Amalekai bai ni Israel be koin wo Rephidim.
Moses said to Joshua,
now Moses catcher Joshua said,
choose some of your men
ye merima yemu
and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands.
Ochra de megina koko no etifi na mekura onyakopom poma no wo mimsem.
So Joshua fought the Amalekites.
Now Joshua yes said the Moses catcher no
as Moses had ordered.
Now ni Amaleka kokoin.
And Moses,
now Moses,
Aaron, and Hur, went to the top of the hill.
Fro koko no ko etifi.
As long as Moses held up his hands,
na se Moses man in saswa,
the Israelites were winning.
Israel did him.
But whenever he lowered his hands,
na se ojan in semwa,
the Amalekites were winning.
Amalek did him.
When Moses' hand grew tired,
now Moses
they took a stone
and,
put it under him.
They told us,
and he sat on it.
Now otnaso,
Aaron and Hur.
Now Aaron and Hur
held his hands up.
So son in semu,
one on one side.
Oba kunwaha,
one on the other.
Na ba kunsoha,
so that his hands remained steady till sunset.
Na ninsani ye pinting kosi so wiatoye.
So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword.
Na Joshua drew Amalek nene main krantiano.
Now. It is very important, this particular verse. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite's army with the sword.
Now Joshua drew Amalek nene mai enkranta.
But he said Moses lifted the staff of God.
Now say Moses ma onyako pompuma anso.
He says you go and fight with the sword.
Okacha on say what the fankranta ni won
koko. I will climb the mountain and lift the staff of God.
Now me dey mefro be ponu na mapejo onyako pompuma.
And then as Aaron and Hur were watching,
Abraham, Aaron, and Hur ehwe no.
See for them they were looking at Moses and they were looking at the battle.
One day na wohwe Moses na fe wohwe okon no so.
They saw that as long as his hands were up.
Now who say bredudu na Moses sawosoro no.
He was creating certain environments.
Na obokwan bi ewo ho.
But when the hands were coming down because of weakness, he saw that the atmosphere was reversing. Then they said, no, we should do something. The hands must be up. The staff of the Lord must be up. So let's go and help him. And scripture said they held the hands. They found something for him to sit on. And then they held his hands till sunset. And scripture says, so as a result, Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. But behind the sword was a raised staff of God. What an atmosphere. What an environment. That caused God's face to be seen. His hands to be lifted. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. You see, this thing must be written. Make sure that Joshua hears it. So that when you are not there, you remember how the battle went. Because I'm going to continue with the Amalekites. But Joshua should hear it. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my flag." We have to lift the flag up. He said, because hands were lifted up against the throne. Hands were lifted up to the throne, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. This is a generational tattoo. It is a spiritual principle that leaders must hear. You see, when Solomon finished the temple, the beautiful temple was to host two things, if you like. Very beautiful temple. But it was to host two things. 1 Chronicles 22:19. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord so that you may bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. This is David instructing his son to build a sanctuary for the Lord. And he says that, begin to build a sanctuary of the Lord so that you may bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that is one, and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. So what is supposed to be in the temple? Two. One. The ark of the covenant of the Lord, representing the presence of God. Two. The sacred articles belonging to God. But in the New Testament, there is nothing sacred in church. But the Christian, There is nothing sacred in church. There is nothing holy. It is not the instruments that are holy.
No,
it's not the container for the offering. The holy thing that you find in the New Testament church is the believer. So in church, we believers will go to church. But there's the other partner that must be there. The ark. The presence of the Lord. But you see, when the temple was finished, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5,
2
Chronicles chapter 5, when the temple was done, this is what the Bible says. When all the work from verse 1, when all the work Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, he brought in the things his father David had dedicated. Those are the articles that we are talking about. The silver and gold and the furnishings. And he placed them in the treasuries of God's temple. Now, so the temple is built.
We see a
story down. So now they are removing the articles that they used to serve God from the tent or the tabernacle into the house.
Na fe na wo yi ne ma na wo de som e wo ntomachia dan num no e de aba asori dan mu ho.
Then Solomon summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel.
Ena Solomon boa Israel penifo ni musiako no etitire no Israel fo.
All the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelites' families.
E musiako fo ni etitire no Israel fo mu.
To bring up the ark of the Lord's covenant from Zion to the city of David.
Verse 4
says that when all the elders of Israel had arrived, the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tent of meeting and all the sacred furnishings in it.
Now far adaka no ni shia dan to madano akonkroni a e want to madano mi na mobile.
The Levitical priests carried them up.
Lewi for asofo num na wode fro bai.
And the king Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the ark, sacrificing such many sheep and cattle that could not be recorded.
Now, Ohin Solomon is asafwa obeshia nche adaka no enim no na kunkum wan ania nentwe a wondo donti wontu mi ankenkan na womo ano bo afode.
The priest then brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to its place now in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim.
Now, as for only the radia pamada cano bamu, the besi nafa, a dino impetra, and a crunkrumu bianumu, cherubim non tabayase.
So you see that the ark has arrived.
Ain't you mum who said a pamada canabedu?
But on the day of dedication,
Nemum Eda will be a sword dynamo.
Solomon surprised all of us.
Solomon Ebma yena hujriye.
His prayer.
Nimpai bono.
His prayer.
Nimpai bono.
I think you want to hear his prayer again.
Some
of you have itchy ears. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I will not take out the full prayer. I will just be picking. 2 Chronicles chapter 6.
Verse 18.
But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? You see, that is, what is he talking? Is it not God that they have brought? You see, this Solomon is smart.
Sir Solomon in the near future.
This same ark
Sir Pamia
was in Shiloh.
Now was Shiloh.
when evil was going around. And the Bible said the voice of God was not heard in Shiloh. This signifies the presence of God, but it is not God. So he is not just content with the presence of the ark. He desires the active presence of God himself. Don't let us go to church and say that the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered in his name, let us see God. He said, yet Lord, my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. In your presence. May your eyes be open towards this temple day and night. This place of which you have said, you will put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servants praise towards this place. Let me just jump to the last verse. Okay, from verse 40. Now, my God, may your eyes be open to and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord. And come to your resting place. You and the ark of your might. You see, the ark is there, but come, so that the two of you are there. We are not just going to be content with a box. You and the ark of your might. The two of you, come. We don't want any ark that cannot fight. We want you yourself to come. You and the ark of your might. May your priest, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Because when you come together with the ark, your people will rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promise to David yourself. When he prayed this prayer, you see, God responded. God responded. If my people, he's trying to say that if my eyes and my ears will be attentive to what is going to happen in this beautiful temple, it will depend on my people. If my people, if it's conditional, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is the atmosphere in which the presence flows. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. He didn't say I will hear from the box. I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins. And will heal their land. Now, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. If you move on, it says that if they don't create that kind of atmosphere, those who saw the beauty of this temple, when they pass by, they said, what is wrong with this place? Because the glory had departed. Leaders have responsibility to create the presence of God. It is the presence that makes the difference. Moses said in Exodus 33,
From verse 14, the
Lord replied, my presence will go with you,
and I
will give you rest. Then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me? So when the presence is there, it means God is pleased with us. And with your people, unless you go with us.
And they won't crop for just a one year.
Now listen to this big one.
Na fetie kesi pa no.
What else?
Edem biom
would distinguish me
and Ebeman Sosuri
and your people. From all the other people on the face of the earth.
Every power
what else
will
make the difference between me
and
your people from all the peoples on the earth?
Everyone
what brings distinction between one minister and the other is the presence of the Lord they carry. What brings a difference between one church and the other?
Is
how much God they have. How much presence of the Lord that the church holds. See, it is the presence that brought a distinction between the Hebrews and the Egyptians in Egypt. You see, it was a presence that will bring the difference between darkness in where the Egyptians lived and light in Goshen. It was the reason for the emancipation. The
and
presence gave them that liberty. It was the reason why some Egyptians decided that, no, we'll go with you. It is this presence, which is the zeal of the Lord, that accomplishes. When the Bible says the zeal of the Lord will accomplish, he's just talking about when the presence comes. It is this presence that answers the how can it be. It is a fire that brings the warmth in our service. It is a fire that melts difficult things. It is the breaker of yokes and the lifter of burdens. It is a revealer of secrets. It is the strength of the church. It is the agent of transformation. When you dwell under this cloud, you will never be the same again. This kind of atmosphere or environment is created by elders.
Yes. Yeah.
1 Peter 5 verse 1 says this.
Petro uma edikaino etinum.
To the elders among you,
Petro uma edikaino etinum chichembako,
I appeal as a fellow elder.
Mia miye openibi eni krisa menihua dansifo no enu unyamu.
So here Peter is connecting himself to the elders.
Ya Petro edene honfra asafumpenifo.
And he says that I'm also an elder.
No, se menso miya sorpeni.
I said, this kind of atmosphere is created by elders. I don't mean apostles, but elders.
See,
I don't mean prophets. I mean elders. I don't mean evangelists. I mean elders. I'm saying that this kind of atmosphere is not created by pastors. I mean elders. I'm not talking about bishops. I'm talking about elders. mean leaders who are elders in the things of God. I'm not talking about pastors. Not apostles. But people who are elders in the things of God. Not those who carry the title elder. But gray-headed people in the things of God. People who know the difference between the presence and the vapid service. Elders who know and have had experience of the presence of God themselves. Elders who know what it is to dwell in the presence of God. Elders who have weight. They have the kabod. And then they can lift people up. Elders who have weight. Elders the Lord is familiar with. There are certain elders, we pick them and God says, who is this man? Elders who the Lord is familiar with. Elders who can lead us to the presence of God. Elders who know the implication and the consequence of doing church without the presence of God. We need elders like Moses. Who have seen the invisible. And therefore are changed.
Now
and are willing to go the extra mile. The expectation of worshippers should not be cut off. The leader have a responsibility to create the environment for God to encounter his people. We'll continue God willing next week. How to create the atmosphere. But I pray that if you are a leader here, I pray that if you are a member,
now we are sorry,
have that burden. We want to meet God. We want to go back home. Satisfied with God himself. Our churches this day are so flat. We need a revival. We need God to arise. That his enemies will be scattered. Why should people continue to ask? Where is their God? But I wouldn't want to end this broadcast without giving the opportunity to give your life to Jesus, the Savior of the world. If you love him and you want to give your life to him, please repeat this after me. Dear Lord, today I repent of my sins and I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I will serve you for the rest of my life. So help me, God. If you have prayed this simple prayer, you are saved. Because you can't pay for salvation. So this simple prayer is your response into the finished work of Christ. That is why it's so simple. But it is powerful. If you have done it from your heart, you are translated from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of his dear son.